Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with you this morning. This month of January, we've kind of kicked off the new year with a bit of a review, talking about who we are as Lakewood Alliance Church, what we're about, and really about our church vision. And so the last couple of weeks, we've been focusing on our deeper roots. We like the image of a tree, you know, we're Lakewood, wood, you know, just trees. Anyways, you get it. So the idea of being a tree and having deeper roots as a tree in the person of Jesus Christ, having our lives, not just our spirituality, but every part of our life being connected to Him. And so we talked about how to do that as individuals. We talked about it last week, how to do that as a community and the necessity of doing that as a community together. Now this week we shift gears a little bit, and we're going to start talking about the impact that our deeper roots have in Jesus. And the impact of that is that we then have a broader reach to the world all around us, whether here at home or beyond. So today we're going to talk a little bit about our broader reach at home, and next week we're going to pick it up and talk about our broader reach that goes beyond the bounds of just our home, beyond the bounds of just, you know, maybe where we live here in Prince George and out to the world. So that's where we're going this week and next. But I'm going to start today with a bit of an assumption. I'm going to start with the assumption that you have heard of, in some way, you have heard of Jesus. Okay, that's my assumption. You showed up at church today, somehow you either dragged here or you came of your own volition, but you're here. And so I'm going to assume you've heard of Jesus, whether that means that you have heard his name as someone was really upset about something, or that you have heard his name in some other context and been told about Jesus. Maybe heard about him on Facebook as someone posted something on there. You've seen a video that talked about him on YouTube. Or maybe you had a friend tell you about him. Or maybe you heard about Jesus from your upbringing in your family. Maybe you heard about Jesus in the Bible or through a course like the Alpha Course or somewhere in church. I don't know how you maybe heard about Jesus, but I'm going to assume that you have heard at least his name. Is that fair? Okay? All right, so that's our starting point for today. You know, I heard about Jesus first at home. I heard about him through my family, my parents. Both of them had been raised in Christian homes. My mom came from a Baptist home, my dad from a Mennonite home. And so they were both church-going families. And so I heard about Jesus at a pretty young age from my parents. That was the first time I heard about Jesus. I heard about him at church. I heard about him in different ways there. And I got to say, you know, as I heard about Jesus and got to see people around me and interacted with people who were following Jesus, it was a bit of a mixed experience. There was a lot of good. There was a lot of the stuff about Jesus' love and experiencing that love for me from other people. But there was a little bit of stuff that I didn't quite understand, didn't make sense to me, didn't really seem to work for me. And so there was a time in my life, in my teen years, where I walked right away from church and didn't really have a lot to do with it. My pattern of life during those years when my parents would go to church, it was when I had my driver's license and I was working at the time. So I would drive my parents to church. I would hop out. I'd go up and help my buddy with the offering. We'd take up the offering. I didn't take the offering, but we collected the offering. I know I confess sometimes up here, but that didn't happen, okay? Just so we know. And then I would take off, and I'd get back in the car, and I'd head down to McDonald's where I was working at the time, and I'd go hang out with my friends, grab a coffee or hot chocolate or something like that, sit there for a while. Then I would come back to church when I knew it would be about ending and pick up my parents and we could go home. I just didn't really want much of anything to do with the church at the time. I was just at a time when I needed to choose my own way and sort out my life for myself. But I came back to really trusting in and believing in Jesus when I kind of came into my young adult years, when I graduated high school, and I got to see some peers who had a real, what I defined as a real faith, something where I could see the evidence of what Jesus was doing in their life. And it wasn't just in older people, no offense to the people who were older than me in the church, but I needed to see it in my peers. I needed to see it in people my own age to know that this was real and could be real for me too. And that was when I decided to come back and start to follow Jesus again. Now, there's many ways the message of Jesus has been shared all over the place. And today we're talking about the message of Jesus going around and being shared. That's what we're talking about today. Sometimes we put a word on that, which we call evangelism, which has become a dirty word for some people. But In many ways, the message of Jesus gets shared, whether it's through videos, through advertising, through preaching, through teaching, through personal conversations, through crusades, music, books, you name it. Like, the message of Jesus gets out in a lot of different ways, especially still in our culture. It's a lot more difficult to get that message out in some other cultures in our world. But here at home, there's a lot of different ways the message of Jesus has been shared all over the place. I was talking to someone today who talked about satellite radio, and I mean, you can get all sorts of stations now that will proclaim the name Jesus all through the day. So today what I want to talk about is why it is that the message of Jesus is a message to be shared. Why that is. And maybe talk a little bit about how we actually get to sharing it. Okay? So if you are new here today, and maybe you're not in a place yet of saying, you know what, I believe in Jesus. Maybe you're not there yet. I just want to say you picked a great week to come, and you may think, what are you talking about? It seems like a crazy week to come. Well, here's the thing. For one thing, you get to hear a topic that really is mostly for Christians, I'll give you that. But it's a topic that a lot of Christians are really uncomfortable with. When I say that evangelism is kind of a dirty word, it's a dirty word sometimes within the church because we are really scared about it. We're scared to get out and share our faith. And if you start talking to a lot of Christians, you're going to find that to be the case. But the other reason I think it's a great week for you to be here is that what I'm hoping for is you will hear the heart of why it is that we feel compelled to share the message of Jesus. And it's not because we're trying to get a whole bunch of religious converts. It's because we want you to experience the love and grace that we've experienced from him. And so I hope that today, through what we talk about, that's what you're going to hear. Okay? You get to hear something that's going to make everyone else squirm in their seats, and you get to hear something for the reason that they do this for you. It's because God has loved them, and they love you, and they want you to know God's love for you. So, glad you're here today, and we get to have some fun with a pretty cool topic today. So we're going to be reading what, for people who've been brought up in church, is going to be a pretty familiar passage, I think, today. We're going to read Jesus' words to his followers that he gave to them just before he went back up to be with his Father in heaven. Okay, so this is after his death. He's been raised again from the dead. He's hung out with his disciples for a bit, and now he's just getting ready to go to the Father, and he gives them basically their marching orders, and our marching orders too, as followers of Jesus. And so we'll be reading just a short text from Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. But before we read that, we're going to pray and just ask God to speak to us today through his word. Father, we just thank you so much for your word to us, and that in that word, the Bible, you tell us about your love for us. You tell us about the way that you've been restoring all things and how you're going to bring that to completion. And you tell us our part in the story and how it was that Jesus came to make all things new, including us. Lord, as we read these words today and hear Jesus' words to us about what it is that we're to do, Lord, may some of the barriers that we like to put up just be torn down. May our objections be overcome. And may we just hear your heart for the world. So, Lord, I pray that you would open up our eyes to see what we need to see today, that you would give us ears to hear your voice speaking to us. You'd open up our minds to understand what it is you're asking of us. And Lord, give us hearts that are ready to respond to you with joy. Just pray, Lord, that we hear your words here this morning and not mine. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're going to start off by reading Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Like I said, just a short text. And Jesus' words to his followers just before he went up back into heaven. So then Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." All right. Short text. Lots there. Now, this text, like I said, is going to give and does give Jesus' followers their marching orders. Like, he's going back up to heaven. Now here's what you're to do, okay? And so it does give them their marching orders, but it also gives a huge amount of assurance. And I actually want to start with that today. The fact that as we go and as we do what Jesus has asked, he also assures us in some really powerful ways. And just a couple things that he says. First of all, that all authority belongs to him. All authority in the world belongs to Jesus. He has power and authority over all things because of what he did. He was obedient to what his Father, the creator of all things, said to do. He was obedient to go even to death, to give his life for us. And so because of that, God raised him from the dead and he exalted him to the highest place, and he put everything else in one place we read under his feet. He gave Jesus authority over all things. Everything else is like a footstool to Jesus now, right? He has authority over all things. And so because he has authority over all things, we go into the world by his command, under his authority. This is not an impossible task. What he's asked us to do is not an impossible task because he has authority over all things, right? He has power and he has authority, and he's asked us to go out under his authority. We have a kind of derivative authority, if you like. But he's asked us to go out into what is not an impossible task because he has authority and power over all things. So that is the first assurance. We're not going out to do this by someone who just thought this was a good idea but has no way to actually accomplish it. Okay? We have the assurance that Jesus has authority and power to actually bring this together. Second piece of assurance is from what he says at the end of that text. It says, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." He is always with us. Jesus' presence is another part of the assurance that he gives his disciples. Now, when you look at where this text comes, I'm a big nut for context, right? I love where it fits. And this is in Matthew's gospel. And if you read the gospel of Mark, Mark has similar marching orders. It has a couple other details thrown in. John has some marching orders that Jesus gives a little bit earlier on. When you look at Luke, Luke wrote both the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And so Jesus actually gives his marching orders through Luke in the book of Acts. That's where Luke records that for us. But in Matthew's record, Matthew is one of Jesus' followers. In his record of Jesus' life, this is right at the end. Okay, so he's walked with Jesus for 3 years of hanging out together and seeing people healed. He's seen demons cast out of people. He's seen all sorts of crazy things. Matthew's been with him through thick and thin, all the way through this journey. He's seen Jesus march progressively and faithfully and determinedly towards his own death. And he's seen Jesus after he was raised from the dead. He's seen it all. And where this now comes, where these words from Jesus come, is after Jesus' resurrection, like we said. And he's appeared to his disciples. He showed them his, the scars in his hands and his feet. They can see this is actually Jesus. And now, at this point, we see these words, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus has shown himself to his disciples. He's with them there on the hill when he gives these words. And he says, "I'm not leaving you. I may be ascending to the right hand of my Father right now. You're going to see me floating up into the clouds. That's going to look really weird, but I'm going. But I am always with you to the very end of the age." The assurance is that Jesus is not asking them to go do this thing alone. He's not saying, "Go do this mission I'm going to give you, and gee, I hope it works out real well for you. We'll talk to you later." He's saying, "Go do this thing, but don't worry about it. I am with you always. Right until the end of the age. I'm not going anywhere." We're to go and do what he asks us to do, but we are to do it with him, in relationship with him, knowing that he is with us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to always reside in us and to go with us wherever we go to follow Jesus. So the assurance is that Jesus is with us. So those are the two pieces of assurance he gives us in this text. First of all, that he's powerful. He has authority over all things, and that he is with us as we go. Okay? It's an important starting point, because otherwise it's really easy to chicken out of what he asks us to do. If we think we have no power, and if we think that we're on our own. It's two really great reasons not to bother with this. Okay. So the assurance is first. Second thing, though, is the actual marching orders. The things that Jesus gives his followers to do, which includes his original disciples, it includes us when we choose to follow Jesus. So here's the things that he says. And we're just going to kind of break down the text a little bit, okay, and walk through it piece at a time. First thing he says is go. Go. Now, if you like, the verb tense would actually be more of an "as you go," or, you know, "wherever you go," as you're going. Along the way, as you go, these are the things you are to do. Now, if you think back, whenever we do a child dedication here at church, We read a text from the book of Deuteronomy, which was God's law to his people Israel way back in history. And he gave them this law, and he told the parents in the law about how they were to instruct their children in the law so they would also get to know God and who he is. And what he said is to do this, you're to instruct them not necessarily through a special course or a time that you set aside or a particular class. What you are to do is when you get up in the morning and when you lie down at night, when you're eating together, when you're walking along the road, teach them my commands. In other words, in all the stuff you're going to be doing anyways in life, as you're driving to soccer practice, as you're picking someone up from school, as you're going grocery shopping, as you're eating dinner at night, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up and having that panic in the morning because everyone's late, in those moments, teach my commands, right? That would be our way of looking at that. So it's a similar as-you-go kind of feel. And Jesus says in the same way, as you go about life, as you go to work, as you go and drive somewhere, as you go for a walk with someone, as you sit down for coffee with a friend, as you go and have a conversation with your family, in all these spaces that you are going, make disciples of all nations. That's the space you are to do it. This is not a special call for some just to be missionaries and, oh, we're going to bless the missionaries and they're going to go and they're going to go for us. As we go, as followers of Jesus, we're to do these things. Just make it part of our life, wherever we go, whether we do it here at home or whether we go somewhere else. This is how we're to do this. So wherever you go, go and make disciples. Now, disciples is a real churchy word. It's a word that we like to use around here, but really it's student or follower, someone who wants to learn from. Right? That's a disciple. And so go make disciples, make followers or students, not necessarily religious devotees who have, you know, all the right religious things they do, but make people who want to actually seek Jesus. People who will do what he says and want to live in relationship with him. People who will learn tools to actually grow in their relationship with Jesus, who will take responsibility for their relationship with Jesus. Making disciples is about connecting people to him. Not trying to make a religious convert, but trying to help someone encounter the living Jesus. To know and to live in his love and grace. So wherever you go, help people to encounter Jesus and learn to deepen their relationship with Jesus. That's what he's talking about. Now there's a couple steps in that. Baptize them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We dunk people in water, right? We don't just do that to make them wet. We don't keep it hot during the week as a hot tub for the staff. We don't do that. We dunk people in the water as a sign of commitment. As a sign of saying publicly in front of other people that I am choosing to follow Jesus Christ with my life. I receive what he did to pay the debt of my sin, and I am choosing to follow him with everything I am and with everything I do. That's what it is. So baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Help them to identify with, to take a step of proclamation that they are choosing to identify with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're identifying with God and choosing to live his way. And really, baptism, we talk about it often when we have a baptism, is that it's an incredible symbol, really, of dying to self as you go back in the water. You say, I'm not going to try and live my life my way. I'm going to die to my own selfish motives, my own self, you know, my opinions, whatever. I'm going to die to that stuff. And instead, you come back out of the water, and it's like being raised back out of the grave, right? You go into the grave, you come out of the grave, and you're raised up to a new life where you let Jesus have control. And you're choosing his way over your way. That's what baptism symbolizes. So it's a public commitment of doing that. So baptize them. Help people take a public stand, a public commitment that this is where they're going. Help them take and make a marker moment in their walk with Jesus. And then teach them. Teach them, not just in a class, but teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, Jesus said. Help them continue on in their growth, or a great big word that we like to throw around is sanctification, a continuing process of growing in holiness in relationship with Jesus Christ. Help them to continue to grow in that. To obey everything that Christ commanded us means to challenge ourselves, challenge our worldview, challenge our thoughts, challenge our attitudes, challenge our behaviors, and progressively allow Christ mastery over all of it. All of it. Not just our time at church, but our choices in how we communicate with our spouse or our kids. The integrity we have when we're working the books for our business. The choices we have when we're getting online and clicking on to a few different things. All of it. Give every attitude, every thought, every inclination to Jesus. Let him have control over all of it. And we do this not in a way to try and earn God's favor. We do it in response to his love for us that he's shown us already. Okay, so let me just summarize this really quick. As we engage with Jesus, as we basically choose to live under his authority, as we choose to live in relationship with him, this is what we talked about the last 2 weeks, okay? As we choose to abide in Jesus was what we read about in John 15. Just like a branch stays in the vine to have life, we need to stay in Jesus to have life. So as we engage with Jesus in relationship with him, as we get to know him better, we will engage the world. That's the natural outflow of that. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. As you go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. As we engage with Jesus, it's going to lead us to engage the world. It's the natural outflow. So as we engage with Jesus, we engage the world, and we help the world to engage with God. That's how this works. Deeper roots in Jesus leads us to a broader reach to the world around us. That's how it happens. If you try and run off and do the broader reach without having deeper roots in Jesus, you're going to flame out. You're going to start doing it for the wrong motives, and it's going to cause a lot of hurt and damage. If you just try and deepen your roots in Jesus without having an outflow for it, you're going to drive yourself crazy. And chances are you're going to walk away from your faith at some point. And we see it happen. Okay, on that happy note, let's talk a little bit about what this looks like practically. How do we do some of this stuff? What does this look like as we go along on the road? And how do we actually even get started with this whole thing? So here's just a few things that we could do to get started. Here's a few ideas for, you know, as you go along the road and as you're hanging out with people and as you have all these relationships with people in your life, what do you do to share Jesus with them? Okay, so here's some thoughts. First of all, accept. Accept people for who they are. Stop trying to create something different in someone else before they get to know Jesus or before you'll think about telling them about Jesus. Accept them for who they are, where they are. Jesus didn't make sure he cleaned up people before he went and met with them. He went and met with incredibly messy people. He went and he met with people in some of their worst spaces. And he accepted them as they were. And he loved them where they were. He didn't ask them to change first as a condition of whether or not he would love them. So accept people for where they are. As Christians, we really got to stop judging people before we actually will engage in a conversation. Okay, second thing. So accept people first. Second thing, nice word for you there, recalibrate. Specifically, recalibrate your calendar. As you think about the things that you're going to prioritize in your life, make it a regular part of what you do to invite what I'm going to call normal people into your life. We'll call ourselves strange people. Paul calls us strange. So we may as well call ourselves strange. Says it in the Bible, so it must be true, right? So we're strange people, they're normal people. So invite normal people into the regular rhythms of your life. Allow them to be there in those spaces where you're just doing life together and where you're talking about things of life. Make relationships a priority. Get to know those outside of the church, not to go out and try and change them, but to love them. Let it be a regular part of our life that we are investing into relationships with those around us. Recalibrate your calendar so it's not all centered around you. Okay, third one. So accept people as they are, recalibrate, or actually investing in relationships with other people. Third one, smolder. Now that might have some different implications for some of you. Think of smoldering eyes and things from romance novels. That's not what we're talking about. Just come back with me. Come back. Okay. Begin to burn with gospel urgency. What I mean with that is deepen your own experience of the love of God for you and ask him to break your heart for the same things that break his heart. When he looks at us and sees the struggle that's going on in our life over simple life things, you don't think your Father in heaven wants to just reach down and embrace you and help make things right? Don't you think he also wants to do that for the people down the street? Sometimes we lose a sense of urgency just thinking, you know what, it's just normal that people struggle with things and that the garbage is going on in our world. That's just part of life. Maybe it is, but I bet every extra minute that has to happen breaks the heart of God, and it should break our heart too. So what I'm saying is throw fuel on the fire of your own heart that burns for the urgency to see people actually experience the love of God in their life. Ask God to break your heart with the things that break his heart. Ask God to show you the spaces that he is hurting for people, so you have opportunity to be there in those spaces with them. Burn with gospel urgency. Allow your life to smolder. All right. Next one. Be a turtle and be a pit bull. Okay, on to the next one. Okay. Maybe we'll pause there for a second. Be a turtle. Recognize that the work of being able to share Jesus with people is slow cooking. There are moments, and don't get me wrong, there are moments when you get to walk into someone's life at exactly the moment that God has set up, and this is the moment when they're going to get to find out about Jesus and choose to follow him. There are those moments, okay? But there is also a lot of moments that are not like that, which are the moments where you're just building into someone and just helping to share love with them. And that's all that's what it is. Evangelism, being able to share the love of God, is slow cooking. Have patience. Have patience because everybody is on their own journey. It struck me just over Christmas holidays a little bit and afterwards that when we think about the journey that each one of us is on, And the way that God has reached out to each one of us, it is an incredible mess. Like seriously, it's a mess. If you talk to 20 other people today after church and ask them about their story of how it was that God reached out to them, chances are a whole bunch of them will be different from each other. I don't know how God keeps it all straight except that he's God and I'm not. Okay? If I was trying to orchestrate all this, I would be lost. Because the way God brings everyone together and their whole stories and knits them together somehow so that they can find out who he is unbelievable. We need to be patient and accept the fact that everyone's on their own journey. It may not look like yours. Be okay with that. Be okay with that. But also, as you're being patient, be a pit bull. Don't rip people apart. But be tenacious. Hold on. And when I say that, don't let go of a relationship, even if someone rejects what you believe. Don't stop loving someone just because they may not want to hear about the love of God for them. Don't let our relationships be just about trying to tell someone about Jesus, but allow the love of God just to shine through you to someone else. So hold on in those relationships, even when they don't go the way you expect them to. Continue to love, even if it takes a really, really long time. Even if you never see the fruit that you expect to see in their life.
hold on. Because God has called us first to love. All right, next thing. Two more. Practice generous hospitality. We talked about recalibrating your calendar, inviting people into the normal rhythms of your life, but also let your home be a place of warm, welcome fun for people. Let it be a place where people come in and gather and experience the warmth of God's love for them. See, Jesus didn't just tolerate sinners. He didn't just put up with them in the spaces where they were. He went to their parties and he had fun. He spent time with them and had a good time. Practice generous hospitality. Invite people into those spaces so they can experience the love of God. And last thing, this isn't all the things, obviously. This is just a list of some things we can do. But pray like crazy. That's the last thing on the list, so hopefully you remember that one the most, because really it's the first thing. Pray like crazy. Jesus said that no one comes to him unless the Father draws them. That's the only way people come to experience the love of Jesus, is if God actually draws them to him. So we need to pray that God will do that. Paul, when he was writing to a church, he got to know Jesus later, but he was writing to this church just to give a lot of instruction, help them out, help them grow in their walk with Jesus. And one of the things he said was this. This is from Colossians, chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Because he was in jail at the time. Pray that I might proclaim it clearly as I should. And I'm just going to pause there for a second. Pray that God would open a door to the message that we're proclaiming, and pray that I would proclaim it clearly as I should. We need God to open the door for his message to go out. We need him to do the work in order to get the message out to the world. We need him to open the doors of opportunity so the message of Jesus can touch people's lives. And we also need to be praying that we would actually present it clearly as we should. Present it in a way people can understand. Present it in a way that people can relate to and make a choice to follow him. We need to pray like crazy. We need God to intervene to open the door for his message to go out to the world. All right, so pray like crazy. So those are some opportunities just at home in your personal engagement and interaction with people. These are just, they're simple ideas. They can be incredibly hard to do because we chicken out all the time and have all sorts of reasons why not to. But these are not hard things. Accept people for who they are, right? Recalibrate our calendar so that we're inviting them into the normal rhythms of our life. Smolder, burning with that gospel intensity. Allow God to really shape our heart with that. Be a turtle in a pit bull. Be patient and don't let go. Practice generous hospitality, have people into our home and love on them, and pray like crazy. That's what we can do personally. But I also wanted to talk to you about two other things today, one of which is what we do together. And I wanted to do this partly to explain a couple of things. So what we do together, there's some opportunities there as well. So when we gather together like this, some things that we do, and Pastor Don and I especially have been having a lot of conversations about this in this last year, and how we do what we do, okay? The real hope and prayer that we have is that when we get together, our church services, the things that we do together, would be accessible to anybody and to everybody. They would be accessible to everybody. And what we mean by that is, since we all need Jesus, whether we're Christians or not Christians, we all need the saving love and power of Jesus in our lives. We want this space where we talk about Jesus to be accessible to everybody who walks in the door. We don't want it to be obscure or confusing or not make any sense. We want to try and create a space where everybody can hear and understand the message of the love of God for them. And so therefore, and let me just say, this is a work in progress.
Because you don't learn anything with this kind of thing until you actually start doing things, and then you make mistakes and you fail at it really well. And the bigger you try, sometimes the bigger you fail and you try something else. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to do this in a way to make this accessible so people can engage with God. So here's some of the things that we've been working on trying to do. Trying to work on how we speak so that it's more accessible language to anybody. And one of the ways that we do that is by trying not to make assumptions about what everyone knows. I grew up in church, and so I got pretty familiar with a lot of the Bible stories, right, going through Sunday school. Like, we heard about Daniel in the lion's den, and we heard about, you know, King David and when he slayed Goliath before he became king, and we heard about, you know, Samuel at the temple, and we heard about Moses and the Ten Commandments. We heard all these stories. And so we knew all this stuff, and we heard all these words like, you know, salvation and the grace of God and redemption and all these things, and we kind of knew what they meant, but it shouldn't be our assumption that everyone knows what all those things are. Because even today, raised up in the church, a lot of people don't know what a lot of these things are. And so if this is going to be an accessible place, we want to take time to explain some of what we say. To explain some of the words we use and try and use words that actually everyone can understand. So that's part of the reason we do stuff like that. Changing how we're talking when we're together. And like I say, this is a work in progress, so we're probably not nailing it 100%, but we're working at it. It's one of the reasons that we're updating our building. This needs to be a place that feels warm and comfortable for anyone who comes. Not like it's dated and we haven't done much with it, but that we're actually investing in this space so it's a comfortable place to come and meet with God. It's the reason we have a hospitality team just to love on people when they come in the door. It's a reason why last week we talked about encouraging us each to live doing the one another's. Forgive each other, encourage one another, do all these things, because when we do that together, it creates a much better space for everybody. It's why we encourage people of all ages to use their gifts and talents, because we want this to be a space where everyone has a chance to serve one another. I love having you guys leading us in worship today. I love it. It's fantastic. And I love you guys are using your gifts to bring glory to God and to encourage us as a church. And I know there's a bunch of other people here who love that as well. But I just wanted to single you guys out because it's awesome. All right? That's really cool. It's why we practice and we do our best when we're up here on the platform. So this can be an accessible place for people. It's why we do pray like crazy. It's why we pray as a staff team every week. It's why we pray as an elders board. It's why we have other people who we've invited to and who have joined us praying on Tuesday mornings for our church family. It's why we put out prayer requests to you guys. It's because we need to be praying like crazy for what happens here. We do all of this so that people will encounter Jesus, whether we've known him for a long time or not, because we all need him. It's why we shaped our Christmas events the way we did this year and tried to do some things that would help it be accessible to people. And it was great to see some of our guests that came and had a great time. So we're going to continue to work at that. The things we do together, we're going to continue to make it as accessible as possible so that people can engage with God. That is just something that we're going to put a huge amount of effort into because we want to see people encounter him. All right, the last thing I want to mention in terms of opportunities we have is just some opportunities in our community. And this is going to be real brief, but the heart of the Christian Missionary Alliance as a denomination has always been to reach the least reached peoples of the world. That's what it's about. And so we have members in our church who do, in a lot of ways, go out to some of the least reached in our world. And I'm just going to name some people by name just because I think it's important that we see some examples of this. We have Rod, who reaches out to the marginalized. We have Sam, who tries to get Bibles to those who don't have them and also helped us out with a bunch of magazines for Christmas Eve so we could hand those out to everyone who came so they could have the Gospel of John in their hands. We have the Simpsons, who work with a ministry among bikers. We have Betty, who reaches out to kids in schools. We have Alice, who serves those who've lost their homes due to natural disasters. We have a bunch of teens who go out and serve at places like Nest Lake Bible Camp or with CEF or other ministries. And it's cool because as a church, we've even had a chance to support them, to pray for them. And even last year, for the first time, we did small bursaries for each of them just to help support them and encourage them in their work. One of the neat opportunities I've had is just to be welcomed into a company here in Prince George to do chaplaincy and be able to share the love of God mostly through just actions and care. It's a pretty simple space. But it's an amazing opportunity we have in this broader community. And I know many of you in this church as well do these kinds of things.
And these are just some of the opportunities that God has opened up to us as we go into the spaces we go around us. Those spaces we go that we can help people engage with God. Now, next week, we're going to talk a little bit more, like I said, about what we can do beyond this space, beyond our community, into the world abroad. But we just want to focus on this local setting today. So we've talked about a lot of practical things already today, a whole bunch of different things we can do personally, spaces we can help out with here at the church, things we can do in our community. And how I wanted to close this off today was just share a little personal testimony about this whole conversation in my life and my heart and my mind. So I did say earlier there was, I like the space for confession sometimes. You know, just me and God talking, it's great. And you guys get to listen in. No, and this is not about the money thing at my old church. This has nothing to do with that. Just so we're clear, it's all good, okay? Now, my confession, though, is that I have never been very good at sharing my faith. You might think, okay, you're a pastor, Dave. You're supposed to talk about Jesus all the time. Yeah, that's true. It's different when you're standing up or sitting up in front of like 150 or 180 people. That's a totally different thing than sitting down for coffee with someone and telling them about why you believe in Jesus. It's a very different conversation. So I've always felt a bit uncomfortable with it, to be honest. And always felt guilty about it too. About the lack of opportunities I've taken to share my faith with people. And I want to share just sort of a couple experiences that happened around my first residential with the Arrow Leadership Program that have really impacted me and some of the things that have happened since. So three things. First one was one of the assignments I had to do for Arrow Leadership before I went to my residential was that I had to sit down and do a normal person interview with someone. You may ask, why didn't you ask anyone at the church? we'll just leave that one alone. But what it meant was I was supposed to interview someone who would not say that they are a Christian. They wouldn't say that they're a Jesus follower at this time. And so I asked a friend of mine if he'd be willing to sit down. And this interview basically consisted of 17 questions that I was to ask that ranged anywhere from questions just about regular life stuff to spirituality, to God, to church and their experience at church. And it was kind of everything in between. It was this whole range of questions. And I had this incredible experience as I sat down with him. And the outcome for me was I realized a couple of things. First of all, I think people are a whole lot more willing and open to a conversation about spirituality than I give them credit for. And a lot of times we never get to that conversation because I say their no before we even get there. I say it for them. I say they're not going to be interested in this. And so I don't even have the conversation. But I realize people are a lot more open to talking about it than I gave them credit for. But the other thing I realized is the importance of those conversations actually being a conversation and not a monologue. Those conversations are not a space for me to go in with guns a-blazing with all the different things that I'm ready to share and just tell them all about it. It's a conversation because they're on a journey. They're a creation of God who's on a journey of finding their way back to him. And I need to respect that. So I realize that people are more open to a conversation than it needs to be a conversation and not just a monologue, not just me dumping on them. So that was the first thing that kind of really gave me a great amount of encouragement, actually, to consider having more conversations with people. Second thing that happened, though, was while I was actually away on my Arrow week, and I've shared a bit about this before, but it really does fit here very well. While I was away at that week at Arrow, I really experienced in a significant way God's love for me. And I know, again, you might say, well, Dave, you're a pastor. You should totally know and experience the love of God for you all the time. That's why you're a pastor, right? Well, yes and no. For me, I've always struggled with the love of my Heavenly Father for me. And the fact that he loves me just because that's who he is. But at that space, God affirmed his love for me in a really powerful and significant way. And what that did for me is that he's making that love spill out of me in different ways than it did before. By just pouring his love into me, it's allowing that love to just spill back out And it's not so much about me trying to conjure up some amount of love for someone in my life. It's just a matter of his love just being enough, that it's pouring back out. So I realized that experiencing the love of God and allowing ourselves to experience his love and grow in that experience of his love is such an important part of being able to then love others and share Jesus' love with others. Which again comes back to 2 weeks ago when we were in John 15 and talking about abiding in Jesus, being connected as the branch, us, the branch, being connected to the vine. So important. We need to be experiencing God's love if we're going to be sharing his love with others. Now, as I've taken steps over the last little while to kind of just be a little more attentive to these things, it's actually been really fun and pretty exciting to see some of the things that have happened. To see opportunities open up that I just never expected before. Opportunities of conversations and people just being open to talk about things in their life. It's been actually really exciting. And not only for what's been happening around me, but what's been happening in me has been exciting for me too. To feel a greater desire and hope that everyone I meet, everyone I know, would experience God's love for them. It's been really cool to see that happen. And I just wanted to share that with you because I hope that that'll be your experience too. As you open yourself up to the love of God more and more every day, as you let him break your heart for the things that break his, that you'll be able to see the opportunities around you. As we're singing Open the Eyes of My Heart today, that was totally the thought that came to me. Open the eyes of my heart to see you high and lifted up, to see the spaces you are already at work around me. Help me see that. Because so often I'm blind to it. I don't see it. But I'm starting to see more of it. And so along with Paul, I want to ask this morning if you would pray with me. Pray that God would open up a great door of work here at Lakewood. That we would be captivated, absolutely captivated by the love of God for us. And we would allow it just to leak out of us, to pour out of us into our community. So that our city would be changed. Our city would be changed as people experience the love of God for them through Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me that as a church and as individuals within this church, we would do whatever we can to see our city transformed by the love of God? It's my prayer for us today. It's my hope that you'll join me in that prayer too. So why don't we pray together, and then I'll invite these guys to come up and lead us in a few songs to close us off today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the ways that you do work in our community. We thank you for the love that you have for us and for all those around us, Lord, and that you meet us in the space of our need for you. We just pray, Lord, that you would fan the flame of gospel urgency in us, that you would affirm your love in us, that we would grow in our experience of your love and just allow it to pour back out of us into our city, that we would see our city changed by you. So Lord, open opportunities, send us out into your harvest field. Help us to just to share your love with this city. We pray in Jesus' name.